Okay, good morning.
Test 1, 2, 3, 4. Test 1, 2, 3, 4. All right, good morning to everyone. I like John's writing because John chooses to use very simple words, and yet he has this ability, and I believe it must have been the work of the Holy Spirit in his life. He has this ability to help us to dig really deep into what he says, and as we bring out the truth from his simple words, we get a lot of blessings from it. And today's topic is on repentance and forgiveness. We are talking about not so much about forgiving one another, but our attitude and our standing before God himself. If we say that we really truly love God, then repentance and forgiveness must happen in our lives, because we cannot truly love God unless we are walking in the light, as the Lord Jesus and God himself is in the light. And so repentance and forgiveness, it's something that draws us into the presence of God. And we will explore that together. Let's come to the Lord in prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are a good God. We pray, O God, that you would help us to understand from your word and be able to apply it in our lives. And in applying, O God, we pray that we will be encouraged and that we will be good witnesses for you. In Jesus' name, amen. So first of all, let's look at the background and the overview. The author is the Apostle John himself. There are some people who say that maybe it's by a different author and not John himself. Well, there are some external and internal evidence for that. Well, it was written probably after the Gospel of John. Gospel of John was probably written in 85 to 90, and the first letter of John was probably about 5 years or 7 years after that. And so we find that John had to write this second letter, and it's most likely that it is sent out to the churches or the churches around the city of Ephesus. And he had to write it because he had to address some very, very important issue. And so some internal evidence is like, for example, in John chapter 1, verse 1, John begins by saying, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And this is how he wrote 1 John: "That which was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, and what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the Word of life." Here we find that this is how John begins his first letter. It's like, what? When we look at it, it's like he's talking about beginning. He's talking about beginning. And then there are some other internal evidences, like, for example, he talks about light. He talks about love. He talks about light itself. And we find that in the book of John as well as in 1 John. And then the way the book ended was like, very similar. For example, it talks about, at the end, John says that this was written so that you may know. And then at the end of 1 John, he says that when you know, you will have eternal life in Jesus Christ. So we find that it's all very, very similar. And so these are some of the internal evidences that we have. And some external evidences are like, for example, the early church father tells us that this letter was written by John himself. And the reason that John wrote this letter was because there was a group of people who seems to proclaim that, we know better than John. We know better than what Scripture tells us. We are the Gnostics, and we know that, you know, you must follow this, you must follow that, and all these things. And so John says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 19, that these are the people who have went away from us. So he's writing to the churches and says that you've got to be careful because these people who went away from us, they are telling you a different gospel. And some of the words that John attests to these people are, he called them antichrist. That is to say that they are anti-message of God. And the purpose for writing is that all of us who listen to the Apostle John's writing, that we will have fellowship with God, and in the end, we will also have fellowship with one another. And so this is the background and the overview of the book of John, 1 John. And so repentance, it actually denotes that there must be an internal change in us. That it is no point just saying that, I repent. But repentance actually means that you realize that you have made a mistake and you make a 180 degrees turn away from your old ways, and now you face the Lord Jesus himself and you come to him for help. So it's a realization of your wrongdoing and coming to Jesus for help. And so that's important, because if we say that we want to follow Jesus and yet we keep on walking in darkness, or you know, walking the way we want, then it does not show that we have a change of heart. And the word forgive or forgiveness, there are seven words in scriptures. So these are the first three Hebrew words that talks about forgiveness. The first, the middle one, it talks about forgiveness that can happen, that can be offered or given either by God or by human being. But this first and the third one, it's only available and given by the Lord God himself. All right? So no one can cover our sins except the Lord Jesus, who can cover our sin. And in the New Testament, we find that there are four other Greek words that talks about it. So it talks about forgiving. It talks about to forgive us of sin. And it also expresses the graciousness of God. And it talks about forgiveness as being something very that is available and is only found in the Lord himself. And forgiveness also talks about the putting away. Like God choose to put away our sins. He choose to forget our sins. He choose to not remember them. And I like Corrie ten Boom's illustration about forgiveness. She says this. This is what forgiveness is all about. It's like as if when we come to God and we ask him to forgive us of our sins, he will throw all our sins into a sea called forgetfulness. And then he posts a sign there and says, no fishing allowed. So when God forgives us, he forgives us completely. It's not that God is absent-minded, but he chose not to remember our sins anymore. And in the Old Testament, the psalmist says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has the Lord forgiven or taken away our transgressions. And so, can I suggest to you, this is what it looks like in this passage that we have read, all right? So, John wanted us to know that this message that he's proclaiming to us, he wants to tell us, what is God like? God is light, okay? So he wants to also tell us and help us understand what does God really like. God likes us to be followers of him and to walk in step with him. Why? Because God is truth. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. He is the only one who can save us. And we also talked about our claim. So we can claim that we are, walking in the light. But if we still walk in darkness, then the truth is not in us. So if we claim to follow Jesus, but yet do not want to obey him, then we are saying that we are not very honest, so we can be considered as a liar, and his truth is not in us if we do not do what Jesus says. And then see, when we come and walk in the light, then we will have fellowship with Christ, and he helps us to see clearly. And having fellowship with Christ also means that we keep his commands. And having this fellowship with Christ would also enable us to have fellowship with one another. So, the next claim is, if we claim to be without sin, then the truth is not in us. But if we know that we have sinned, we have the good news that Christ Jesus, he is our atoning sacrifice. There's nothing good in us that can earn us a place in heaven. Well, if you know that you have sinned, don't worry, because you can always come to Jesus. And when you repent before him, he will forgive you of your sins. And then if we confess our sins, God will give to us restoration. Why must God give to us restoration? Because the Lord Jesus Christ had paid the ultimate price. He has become our advocate. So this passage talks about what God is like. Our claim, if we claim to be walking in the light, but actually walking in the darkness, we do not live out the truth. So we can have fellowship with Christ when we walk in the light. And by that, I also mean, you know, walking with God. We can claim to be without sin. If we claim that, then the truth is not in us. If we confess, we get restoration. Why? Because God is truth. We can depend on his word. And when God says that there is salvation in the name of Jesus, that the Lord Jesus is our advocate, if it is through Jesus that we can have our salvation, then we can trust God that this is true. Because Christ is our advocate. He literally paid that price on the cross for us. And that was why John was saying so you know, he was so like, you know, to anxious to let people know, this is the person that we have actually seen, touched, and heard, and we know that he is the life, and we want you to have this life. And because Jesus Christ is our atoning sacrifice, we can have fellowship with God, with Christ, when we keep his commandments. And if we do what Jesus says, then we will be walking in the truth and will not be found out to be liars. And anyone who walk according to what Jesus, to walk according to what Jesus has walked, he will be known as the one who loves God. And this is what God likes. And so these are the two verses that we have read. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you that God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. So what are we talking about when we say that God is light? Well, first of all, it does symbolize that God is righteous. You can find this in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18. That God is always righteous. Anyone who walks in the light will also be following God. And God is completely, unreservedly, absolutely holy, with no mixture of sin, no taint of iniquity, and no hint of injustice. I did not come up with this phrase. I can't remember where I found this, and I forgot to take down who wrote this. But anyway, this is one person's view on what God is like when it comes to saying that God is light. Have you tried to walk in darkness without any torch, without any source of light? You probably stumble along the way. But when you have the light, you are confident and you can walk, hey, no problem at all, you know, because the light illuminates the way for us. And so when we walk in the light of God, God will also illuminate the way for us to follow him. And so there is hope for us that God can also make us righteous. Not because we are righteous or not because we are capable of doing that, but because Jesus Christ, he is our advocate. And then in 1 John chapter 2, verse 5, he says, if anyone obeys his word, love of God is truly made complete in him. And this is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. So John was very clear. Gnostics may be telling you this and that and this and that. But are you living the way Jesus did? Okay. What does God like? Well, he likes us to be obeying his word. And Jesus says, if you love me, you will listen to my commandments. Or if you love me, you will obey me. So how do we walk according to what Jesus that Jesus did? Well, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 and 2 tells us that we must walk in the way of love. And in Romans chapter 8, verse 29, it tells us that God has predestined us to conform to the likeness of his son. You can look into the book of Acts and you will find that there are good examples of all the apostles and how they willingly obey God and willingly, you know, even sacrifice their lives for the sake of the gospel. So if we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. And whoever says, I know him, but does not do what he commands, is a liar, and the truth is not in that person. You would have noticed now that we are, you know, coming from the outside and moving our way in. And hopefully by the end of the sermon, we talk a little bit about what God is like. God is truth. So our claim, well, we can make a lot of claims, but sin must be forsaken or sin must be given up to God. If we say that we are followers and disciples of Jesus, we cannot have one foot in this boat and another foot in another boat. We will sink. We must decide for ourselves who is the master of our lives. Sin should not have mastery over us. God must be our master. And so we must remove sin from our lives. And there is help, not because we are capable, but because Jesus Christ, he is our advocate. What must we do if we do give in to sin? What must we do? Well, the word is repentance. If you know that you have willingly done something wrong, and if you realize that God is the good God, what do? You come to God and ask him for forgiveness. You repent and say to God, God, I'm sorry. You know, there are some people who think that, I think God is like a passport for me. In this life, I could do all the wrong things in the world, and then I come to God and ask him for forgiveness. The greater sin that I have, then the greater God will have to forgive me. Therefore, I'm proving God to be more loving. But that's the wrong attitude. And I've come across people who say to me, it's okay, I'm still young. I'm only 21 years old. And I'm probably, you know, going to live up to my old age. Anyway, the Bible says, you know, so I can live up to 70 years, you know, 70. So it's still a long way ahead. Maybe when I'm 69, then I'll walk holy before God. But how can we be sure that we will not die tomorrow? How can we be sure that we will not, you know, walk out from this church and suddenly, you know, someone on a bicycle just knocks us and kills us? We don't know. And so, the best option is literally, when we know that we have sinned against God, we immediately come to Him and say, God, forgive me. We repent, we turn back to God. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. And if we know that we have come to know Him, if we keep His commands. We talked about fellowship with Christ now. We have a choice. We have the choice to make. We can choose to walk in the light. You know, when John talks about having our fellowship together, he is not so much mentioning about if we walk in the light, then we can have fellowship together among ourselves. No. But what John was trying to say is, this fellowship is between us and God. It's something very personal and individual. And because God is light, and if we walk in the light, therefore we will have fellowship with Him. All right? And because of that fellowship that we have with Him, each one of us has with the Lord Jesus, then we can also have fellowship with one another. But the first thing is our fellowship with God. And the good thing about how John puts it is, when we walk in the light, all right? Which means to say that there is a choice here. We can choose to walk in the light, and we can choose to walk in darkness. In this verse, you will also find that John gave to us the assurance that when we walk in the light, it does not mean to say that we will become sinless for the rest of our lives. Because when we do sin, we do have someone who can forgive us. And so John is writing very carefully to let people know that when we walk in the light, sometimes we will make mistakes, sometimes we will sin. But there is help available. And so it is about God and us in fellowship. And when God and us, we are in fellowship, then we can have fellowship with one another as well. And by having this fellowship, it also helps us to obey God's command. And really, if we want to talk about discipleship, then if we keep on walking in darkness, we cannot be serving God because we are not walking in the light of God. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. None of us can claim that we are without sin. Well, don't worry about it, because God, Jesus Christ, is our atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. Can you see the graciousness of John here? So he's writing about God able to forgive our sins, but not only us, but for the rest of the world, even for those who have gone away from us, those who are away from our fellowship, that love, that sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross, it's also available. But it's up to them whether they want to walk in the light or not. So we are still capable of falling into sin. The problem with those who left John's fellowship is that they proclaim that they know a better way. They know that maybe Jesus' death is not good enough because we have special knowledge and that we have special ability and we can have, and if you really want to know, come follow us. But that's the problem that John was saying. Hey, Jesus Christ is our advocate. He is our sacrifice already. You don't need any special way. You don't need all those things anymore. All you need is the Lord Jesus. Yes, we are capable of falling into sin, but there is help in the Lord Jesus himself. So we cannot adopt a callous attitude towards sin. We cannot say to ourselves, it's okay. What I'm sinning is only a small, little, minor thing, and God will always forgive me. Here is a very extreme example. Have you come across this person by the name of Ted Bundy? Yeah, Ted Bundy. He was the convicted killer who murdered about more than 40 prostitutes in his life. Ted Bundy says that. His desire for women and murder started when he was browsing through his neighbor's recycling bin and found a copy of a pornographic magazine. And that triggered him, and that started his journey to murder. And so sometimes we say that it's harmless. It doesn't affect anyone. Only me, and I can always come back to God. Ted Bundy, at the end of his life, yes, he found Jesus in prison. And I might say that he is in heaven, not because of what he has done, but because he found forgiveness in God. He changed. And he turned to God. So we cannot adopt a callous attitude towards sin. It may be a simple thing like pinching, one lolly from the supermarket. From one lolly, it can end up being something worse. So when sin is at its smallest, at its beginning, we must get rid of it. Keep your account short. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us of our sins and purifies us from all unrighteousness. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. So there is help. So John is saying to his readers, hey, there is help in Jesus. Come back to God. Come to Jesus. We are all not perfect. I think all of us, we can do whatever we want to say, no matter how much we promote ourselves. We cannot run away from the fact that we are all sinners. We are not perfect. And we cannot take our spiritual health for granted. So you find that in this passage, it seems like John is saying, in my gospel, I have written to you about life and light coming down to this world, and he gave his life on the cross for us so that we can have eternal life. In 1 John, he's like telling us, this is how you can maintain a good, healthy, eternal life while here on earth. It's like us, our physical life. If we want to live a healthy life, we must take care of our physical well-being as well. We cannot hope to keep to be alive in 5 years' time if we eat all the various
roast pork belly, fats, and after that, you know, drink five cups of coffee and with 1 liter of ice cream for every meal, we will probably die. But in order for us to maintain a good, healthy life, we must have a balanced diet, a good amount of sleep, and also a good amount of exercise. And so John, in 1 John, is telling us, if you want to maintain a good, healthy, eternal life while here on earth, then follow what I am saying. And in this part of scriptures, he's laying down for us, you must repent, come back to God, and seek God's forgiveness. In other words, keep your account with God short. Sometimes we say, but how can I know that, you know, Jesus will forgive me? And when so many commentators say that when John was writing this part of the scriptures, he must have the picture of how the apostle Peter, he denied Jesus 3 times. Thank you for your help. I'm not perfect. he denied Jesus 3 times. And yet in John chapter 21 verse 12, this was what Jesus said to Peter and the disciples who were on the boat. Come and have breakfast. It's a restoration process. If you cannot see eye to eye with the person, you will not want to have any breakfast or lunch or dinner with them. But Jesus took the initiative to restore the apostles and Peter himself. So in the Lord Jesus, you find that there is restoration. And when John was writing this passage, he is writing out of the experience that he has seen with his own eyes, heard with his own ears. Jesus is our advocate. So if we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. So God is truth. God himself says through Jesus Christ, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So we can completely trust in the Lord Jesus. And please raise up your hand if you have never sinned. Not even once in your lifetime. Can anyone raise our hands? I think all of us, if we are really honest with ourselves, we have committed a lot of sins in our lives. We have even committed, maybe we might even have committed sin this morning. I don't know. Maybe I have, because when my wife was driving another car, just overtook, and I got quite angry with the other car driver. So maybe I should not have, I should not have got angry because it's not me driving anyway. But I gave into anger. So I still sin, right? But I have this confidence that I can come back to Jesus and he will help me. It is in realizing our need for forgiveness that God can renew us and his word takes root in our lives. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word is not in us. If we want to keep God's word in our hearts, we must acknowledge who God is, repent before him, ask him for forgiveness, so that we can have fellowship with him. And having fellowship with him, we can now have fellowship with one another. And so it was pretty exciting for me to, you know, go through this passage and coming up with that structure. And it took me quite a few weeks. But I thank God that just through that, I learned so much about the goodness of God. And yeah, I encourage all of us to also, to look deeply into this book of 1 John. If in your own spare time, if you think that today, being Sabbath, I have nothing much to read, read through 1 John. Look at the simple wordings that John has written and how we can apply the simple truth in our lives, and we will grow in the Lord. And so I hope that this small section here this small topic on repentance and forgiveness have encouraged us to walk faithfully with the Lord, and that we will be found walking in the light. I'll give you 1 minute, 1 or 2 minutes to reflect on what has been said, and after that we will close it with a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that you are really the God of light. We thank you that in your love, you gave to us Jesus. We thank you for the writing of John in his gospel as well as in his first letter. We thank you how he has been able to encourage us to walk in the light, just as you are in the light, just as you are the light. We thank you, O God, that it does not depend on us, but it depends on your Son Jesus, who has offered to us eternal life and have restored our fellowship with you. We thank you, O God, for the warnings that John has placed in this first letter, telling us that we cannot be casual with our sins, but that we must always come to you for restoration and forgiveness. We pray, O God, that in our lives we will always be reminded of the price that your Son Jesus has paid on that cross. And help us, O God, to walk faithfully every day with you, and help us to be walking in the light. And so, God, we pray that knowing who you are, we pray that you will also help us to obey and follow and walk in the footsteps of Jesus. And this we pray in your Son's name. Amen. So next week we're going to do a topic on looking after the environment as Christians.
Hi, great. Let's stand as we respond in song to what we've heard, singing This Life I Live.